everyone. Welcome back to Death Holler. This episode, we are covering Uranus pick for the birthday month, and that would be Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City from 2021. I'm going to let her take over for this one since it's her pick, so she can kind of lead things. I'll come back in for the synopsis.
Yeah, I'm the birthday bitch, so I'll go ahead and go through all the notes. But the Reverend was so kind to put together, because I probably should have. But, you know, we kind of use the same skeleton, a.k.a. the same format, so it's tomato potato. Anyways, Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City from 2021. Before I even get into this, did they record this during COVID?
They probably did portions of it. I'm sure they did.
Okay, because that's, to me, impressive. But anyways, tagline, witness the beginning of evil. I'm not sure that I like that too much.
I mean, it kind of describes the movie, but it's not a good tagline.
Yeah, it does, I suppose. Directed by Johannes Roberts, also written by Johannes Roberts. Music by Mark Corvin. Budget of $25 million. Box office only of $42 million. But I'm wondering if that had to do with COVID.
Yeah, there was a lot of people not wanting to go back to the movie theaters, because I remember back whenever this came out and I watched it, they even still might have been doing the spacing in the theater, like, you know, seats apart.
You could only buy, like, there would be, you could book in one row, but it had to be seats apart, and then one row was completely empty, and then the next row it was X amount of seats. I think it had to be two seats in between parties, if you will. I remember back then too. I don't know if it was like this in your area. I'm sure it was, but they were like, well, the parties have to be, it was like no more than four or five people or something like that. And it had to be immediate family only. And it was like, how the fuck were you gonna enforce that? Like, okay. Anywho. So $42 million. I mean, yes, they made almost twice their budget back, actually technically less, so you could consider that almost a failure, but I think it had a lot to do with COVID, personally. I don't know.
And a lot of these movies, I mean, especially from Disney and all that, pump way more than double the budget in a lot of cases into advertising, and I don't feel like this was advertised that much by Sony, so I don't think they lost as much as they, you know, as they could have on this.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Of all the Resident Evil movies, I really wasn't interested in seeing this one. In fact, I'm pretty sure the only reason we saw it is because we were streaming it at home. So the hubby gets movies, and he must have put it on or told me to sit down and watch it. Cause
I knew it was going to be good. The feedback was pretty good about it from people, just kind of listening to the people kind of on the side, kind of like, early beta.
Yeah, I'm wondering how you got me to watch this, though. I think this is one of those movies you made me sit down and you're like, you're going to watch this. Because you pretty much have to do that sometimes to get me to watch things.
Yeah, but even then, like, we're watching it last night, we're kind of rewatching, and she's just fucking freaking the fuck out. The whole.
We'll talk about that later. Like,
fuck, man.
Dang.
You're making me nervous.
Shut up. Principal players, moving on. Kaya Scodelario. Kind of fucking name. No, I'm just kidding. Claire Redfield. She was in Crawl 2019. I feel like I know about that movie, but I haven't watched it. I know I haven't watched
it. Set in Florida during a hurricane. A bunch of alligators get loose from a nearby alligator farm, and they're inside this basement in a subdivision, and she's stuck there, and she's got to try to keep from getting eaten. It is a really good movie.
She's trying to stop from getting ate. That sounds like when bad animals go bad. So many alligator movies.
Definitely is, yes.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of alligator movies. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and Maze Runner. Robbie Amell, I knew I recognized him. His brother is Stephen Amell?
Yeah, or cousin, I believe.
Cousin. They look like brothers. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, they do. I know.
They look a lot like each other, although Stephen Amell just looks like a more mature version, older, bigger. He plays Chris Redfield. He was in The Babysitter, Killer Queen. He was dumb as the day is long in those movies.
Yes, he was.
He was just the looks in that movie. He was in also in The Duff and The Flash. Of course he was in The Flash with his cousin being Green Arrow.
Yeah, he I think he played I can't remember the character he played in that now. It's like his mind melded with like this older scientist guys or something like that, and they're trapped inside one body or something like that. So kind of a different character, but he was only on it for a couple seasons. Then he went off to, which is probably a good thing for him because the CW just went right to the shitter. So.
Yeah, man, it's fucking. They had some good shows for a minute, but they got, I don't know, woke. They got too woke.
Yeah, they got woke and then went broke. That's what happened to them.
They did. Is the CW still a thing?
It is in name, and there's only one, and they're getting rid of even Superman and Lois or whatever that they've got on right now. The only thing that they're talking about even having as far as a show is maybe getting Jensen and, you know, Jared back and doing a reboot to Supernatural. That's if maybe, because it's, the rumor is they're just going to go to an all sports channel because, you know, they lost their ass at Fiction.
Yeah, it's a CW, which, I mean, even Jared and Jensen can't revive them.
They can't kickstart that channel.
Like a deadite, they've been dismembered. And
which is insane. Like, because if you check out any major streaming platform, tons of good shows on there. Tons of good shows. Tons of good sitcom things, too.
So, yeah, well, I mean, when your mission statement is to basically make 70% of your cast gay in, you know, every show that you have and overrepresent, then you're to the point you exclude story and actual decent dialogue, you're going to lose your ass.
That's how Supernatural died. And I know they were like, oh, you know, it's time to call it. It was time to call it quite a while ago. It was not good. The story writing was terrible, and now they want to try to bring it back, and I'm like, I'm sure the fans are like, Jared and Jensen, but,
you know. You can say that about the entire show.
No, I won't. let me see. Hannah John came in, who plays Jill Valentine. Not the Jill I envisioned. I'm sure we feel like that about a lot of these characters.
Right. I thought they did a good job.
They did a good job being the characters, but it's hard when it's hard.
It doesn't say, I don't care when they change up a character as long as the character's still done good. It's when they change up the character and they make the character not what it originally was that I get into an issue.
I feel Reverend feels like that about one specific character.
Oh, really?
Yes, we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yes, and Jill is next to that as being one of the weakest things in this.
Thank you, Jill.
Because they don't do anything with her in this. Yes. She's just there, and I hate to say it, but she doesn't look like the video game character.
Not
which she doesn't have to, but if they're not going to have her really do anything, and then she's also not going to look like the character, why even give her the name?
We're not associating her with anything.
Yeah, she has no association whatsoever with a character.
I had to go back to the cast thing. I mean, obviously they're going to say her name and, you know, talk about her and everything in the movie, but I had to go at the beginning and was like, who the fuck is she's Jill? And I was like, and I remembered watching this movie and thinking, she doesn't give me Jill vibes. Not just because of looks, like Noah said. If they're playing the character properly, you can kind of get past that. At least put her in an outfit that looks close to Jill's. That wasn't hard to do. Jill had almost a...
That would have definitely helped quite a bit, yes.
I feel like Jill had a Tomb Raider vibe to her a little bit. Or am I thinking the wrong... Am I thinking Claire?
No, you're thinking Tomb Raider.
And not exactly... How did you know? I'm just kidding.
Shut up.
I'll be honest with you. I think that, and I'm not a fan of these movies, and we might cover a couple of them. I don't know. I've not decided, but the Resident Evil movies with Mila Jovovich, I feel like Apocalypse, the second one that had another version of Jill Valentine, that actress at least looked like her. They had her in an outfit that was just like Jill's, you know, kind of the blue sweater and the, you know, short skirt. I mean... If they were going to have this woman in this movie play the character, they could have at least had her dressed in that general, like, look instead of just being... I mean, she had, like, on, like, manly camo fatigues and shit. Like, just never... Nothing resonated as being Jill about her.
Oh, okay, hold on. I got a question. What was your opinion of the original Resident Evil movies?
I felt like they were okay. The first couple were okay. And then after that, they just got to be the, how can we show Mila Jovovich, you know, doing badass stunts type movies? Because I think her husband was the director. So he was, you know, it's like, I'm going to show my wife off, which is fine. It's, you know, what Rob Zombie does. But I don't feel like any of them really connected to the games whatsoever. Even the first couple, the second one, Apocalypse, was a little bit more so, but I feel like the first one was just like zombies and some kind of weird, and then like the Red Queen segment that everybody goes crazy over. It's cool, but I don't feel like it really connected with the games as much.
I don't think it did either. I actually hate the Resident Evil movies.
I didn't mind the first there's one so at many, the time.
There's so many problems.
There is. It's not. It just doesn't represent the game.
It's not even represent the game. The storyline's so fucking laughable.
It's so it's generic. It's
generic. It's
an action movie with zombies is what it is.
And especially when you have a good laid out storyline already, that it's a good template to follow, and then you still fuck it up.
I feel like with Jill Valentine, they definitely race swapped her in this movie.
Yeah, 100% on that.
And I think that they could have still done that because she's only halvesies. They could have done the hair. She could have still had the hair at least, because I'm looking at the photos and she did have a Jill Valentine outfit. She had something. She had a similar grayish blue shirt. She had a tactical vest. Sometimes Jill, there is photos with Jill with the tactical vest. Maybe not the skirt, which obviously traditionally Jill wore like this bodice, blue bodice and a short black skirt. And I know everybody probably would rather see that. Like, who wouldn't? But this girl being race swapped, having the curly hair, even dressed similar to Jill, it doesn't play Jill very well. And they didn't have her really do anything. So
all she does is simp for Wesker, and then until she doesn't, and then she does a couple more scenes with Chris, and then the movie ends. That's all she really does in the entire movie.
Yeah,
that's it.
So that was unfortunate. I am, if you head over to our Discord, Reverend, I did send you a photo of the closest I could see her, quotation mark, as Jill Valentine.
Now, I'll say this. The two previous actors, or the actress and actor, first of all, that Kaia Scodelario or whatever, she is very close to what Claire is in the games. They got, I mean, perfect casting for her. And she's kind of a looker, too, so that's nice for the guys out there. And then for the women, Robbie Mill's not bad-looking either, and he does remind me of Chris Redfield. So they did good for those two characters. It's Jill is kind of a stinker.
Oh, yeah, they even have the jacket.
Yeah,
the leather jacket.
Yeah. That was the first thing whenever they had Claire and they had the red leather jacket. It's like, okay, they put some effort into Claire.
Yeah, I wonder why it all went wrong. Speaking of going wrong, well, let me finish up Hannah here, who played Jill Valentine. Ready Player One, pretty. I need to see that movie. I've only heard good things about it. I've not heard bad things about it. And Ant-Man and the Wasp, I've not
Ready
heard
Player
anything.
One?
Well, yeah.
There's a lot to criticize about that movie.
I didn't say there wasn't, but I hear a lot more good than I do bad. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, I haven't heard anything good about that.
The funny thing is she plays Ghost in that, which is a... from what I understand, is a if it's not just also race swapped, it's gender swapped character that's one of those that Disney has been notorious for in recent years, where it's like, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not really bad because I had a bad life, and you should feel sorry for me, and it's just like,
no.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh God,
bad decisions are bad decisions.
They haven't brought Ghost back, by the way, either. It was that bad that they're just like, yeah, that character might not ever come back. Thanks.
This too shall pass, like a kidney stone.
Yeah.
Avan Jojia, which Leon Kennedy. But in what way is he Leon Kennedy other than a name?
I loved his character in this one.
Why?
Because he was a fucking rookie doof. And technically he was a rookie doof in the game.
Was he?
It's just the difference in the game is you control the doof. So
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's That's why, like, I thought his character was probably the best executed for the fact that he's a stupid rookie.
I'm going to kick back on that because Leon was a rookie, but he was competent in his police skills in the game. I mean, like, he wasn't like, I mean, they make him, there are so many times in this movie where they make him, like, forget basic, like, just base level police skills that it becomes ridiculous at a certain point. And I like this movie, don't get me wrong. I've got friends who absolutely hate this movie and trash on it. And we pretty much agree that Leon is the weakest point in this movie just because of how they portray him. And it's not the race swap or whatever. I think Avon, I mean, he's got the pretty boy looks kind of like, yeah, you know, the Caucasian version of Leon has. So he would have been perfect in that sense. It's just that them making him so doofy as he gets in the movie. I can forgive a little bit of, like, I'm kind of green around the collar, you know, whatever. But, like, whenever they make him to where he literally is just, like, forgetting his gun half the time, that's a bit much.
Okay, let me try to sell this to you really quick.
He's going to sell you.
I'm going to sell you. Okay, think about what the job you do, right? How long you been doing it for?
16 going on 17 years.
I take it that every once in a while you get a rookie employee that shows up, right?
Yep.
And how bad is that rookie employee still after 6 months? The amount of hand-holding that needs to go on even after 6 months for a young fucking rookie. Now,
I get that. But
now think about. Hold on. Let me tell you. I gotta sell you on this.
Oh God.
Okay. Now think about you doing your job, and you got some rookie that's supposed to be there doing their job too, and you're hand holding, and the zombie apocalypse breaks out. I'm trying to paint the picture. Is like, even though you might went through academy, there's plenty of mechanics I know that go through UTI for a year, and they spend like $80,000 on the education. They come out. And you got to hold their hand for years. And I'm just pointing out the fact that even if you went through an academy, that's an 8 month process, and you get put in the field. And even then, if it's kind of a small town where there's not a lot of drama, you're not getting your feet wet. And then you throw the zombie apocalypse on that. So here you've been holding your pecker, trying to learn your job when nothing's going on, and not brushing up on all your skills. And all of a sudden, the zombie apocalypse breaks out, and you're there like, fuck, I haven't really picked up anything new other than have a shitty boss.
I'm not saying that I'm an expert at anything, but I feel like even a dumb fuck like me in a zombie apocalypse wouldn't be forgetting my gun, wouldn't be forgetting my machete.
I know, but you're taking the position that you know it's a zombie apocalypse. Nobody knows quite what
that's
the fuck's
true.
Going on.
He doesn't quite know it is.
All they know is this town's in disarray, Umbrella's doing weird shit. And all these accidents are happening, and it's just like, and he's been sitting there holding his pecker, being a clerk behind the desk at the fucking police station, not really going out into the field.
I'm with Reverend on this one.
That's fine. I'm trying to paint it.
Let Reverend finish what he wants to.
What I was going to say is, here's the thing. If they would have showed him at the beginning, like sleeping and, you know, and then them picking on him, and then him sitting there listening to whatever 90s ultra pop, which was kind of funny, that would have been fine because you get, you know, fuck ups that do that sort of thing. But I think when the shit hit the fan and he saw that whenever he was getting attacked by monsters, some of his police training back with a gun should have came in. But they set it up. Now, don't get me wrong. They set it up at the beginning of the movie that he's terrible at a gun. And that was because he shot his partner.
Oh, yeah, in the ass.
but that is where the start of, like, most fans got pissed off, including me, of that character, because Leon's my favorite character in the series. And whenever they went that route of making him, like, doofy with a gun, it's like, you realize in this series, Leon Kennedy goes on to be a like a Uber SWAT team type guy that goes in there and does, like, these precise extractions. So you don't get the guy who shoots his partner going in and doing that stuff later. He has to at least be semi-competent at the gunplay. Maybe he's a goof around, you know, like he sits there and he fucks off at work, and he can become more, you know, responsible as it goes along. But he needs to at least be semi-competent with a weapon. And whenever they started him out in that light, I'm like, oh, they fucked him up.
Yeah, but I don't look at it as him being a fuck-up. I look at it as he's not doing anything to really make use of his skills that he's been picking up. So
which kind of sucks because, like, Leon Kennedy.
It's a small town. Not a lot happens. You're stationed, and you get a jerk-off boss.
But the problem with what you're saying is that he's eager. You could see he's trying to 100%. Do more than just sitting behind the desk. And so the problem I have with it is, like, he's not a coward. A coward would be a little more doofier.
I agree 100%. I didn't make him out to be a coward. No, I just make I know it out that he didn't have an opportunity to really refine anything.
But I feel like if you're not a coward, you are a little bit more skilled. You're more eager, so you're like, I'm going to be the best. Like, he practices at home being the best.
Yeah,
you know?
But if he's just been dicking around a small town not doing anything, even then, like, practice doesn't mean shit unless you get actual application of what you're practicing.
Yeah.
And so and that's where I think it kind of lends to his favor, because after that happens, it's like he got thrown into the fire. So now he probably will be the badass.
You know what I just thought of, Reverend? Life After Beth, the brother that was the like security of the like neighborhood of the HOA.
Yeah, he was a doof, and then he got thrown into the mix, and he's like, oh, this guy's a badass now.
Yeah.
But you need to go through the fire. And the thing
but he
is,
was practicing and doing stupid bullshit at home, and it's like, bro, you are a fucking, like, HOA security
see,
guard.
See, if they would have painted more of a background for Leon's character, like him maybe trying to do shit like that in the off time, and then making him out to be a doof in the beginning, and then him kind of spinning it back around as the movie developed, I think it would have played into the character development better.
Yeah. I think people were doing, I think, like, well, you know, we'll get into this later, but a Reverend and, well, Noah doesn't. Yeah, Noah knows. So back in the day, Mila Jovovich's fucking Resident Evil, guess who was supposed to play Leon Kennedy but didn't? I'll give you a big clue. It's an actor that I don't like.
Jensen
Ackles.
I don't know.
Soldier Boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Supernatural.
I mean, he
could have.
He actually kind of looks.
He looks
like
him. They have a side by side comparison, and I'm like, this motherfucker would have played a good Leon Kennedy.
he doesn't look like a rookie. Well, he might have back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
There's one moment in the movie that gets to me. I mean, I could probably forgive the rest of it with him, because he does toward the end of the movie redeem himself.
Yes,
especially when he gets the rocket launcher, but. The scene where he's in the basement and that one conspiracy guy's there.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And he loses his gun, and Claire has to hand it back to him, chastise him, and then the zombie comes back that you thought was killed by Claire, and he puts all those bullets into it, way overkilling, and then she has to remind him to get his shit together. That's a little too much. That just irks me so much. It's like, this should be the moment that he, a couple of bullets, and it's, if they would have done that, like when the zombie came back and he, a double tap, and he was
double
like,
tap.
and then she comes back and she's like, are you good? And he's like, I think I am. You know, that would have been like his start to becoming something more. But the fact she had to, she's like, get your shit together, because he's just going, you know, crazy over it. That was a little much. I'm like, okay, they almost character assassinated him at this point.
And like watching that part, there's a part of it when I was rewatching it last night where I was thinking they should have flipped that entire scene and had Claire to be the one to come down there and get that guy out, and Leon comes in the aftermath and then fucking kind of has a little moment of shining.
I feel like they could have used that guy for a while, and he could have slowly still been deteriorating.
Well, I'm just thinking about that scene and flip the characters' positions. Claire was the one and Leon's the one that showed up afterwards.
Yeah, and he would have still been like, oh shit, what's going on? He would have had questions. He might have been slow to react, but that would have kind of made him forced to be, you know?
It's funny you say it, because I thought the same exact thing, because I was like, if she was here, that would have paid off so much better, the fact that she knew the guy online, and she could have had a scene with him where she, you know, she realized that, you know, even if he turned on her at the last second, she could have been vindicated. It's like, I was right this entire time, you know, because her whole thing is she was gaslit. It's like she said they're doing some weird experiments, and everybody around her was like, you're just fucking insane. Go to sleep.
She
you
was
know,
on AOL
sort of
online.
And, yeah, and that would have give payoff to her, and then also paid him off and set him up better for the end of the movie. You're right. That's 100% what they should have done in that scene.
Avon Jogia, he was in Zombieland Double Tap. He played Berkeley, and we did not like that character.
No.
He was the hippie guy dating fucking, not Tallahassee. What the fuck did I get Tallahassee from?
Little Rock.
Little
right?
Rock, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
it's funny too, because I thought in that moment, I was like, whenever I realized that he played Berkeley, I was like, I hate him, or I hated him in that movie about as bad as Tallahassee did. And I think Tallahassee would have still hated him as Leon Kennedy.
Oh my God. Tom Hopper, who played Albert Wesker, he's been in Black Sails and The Umbrella Academy, which I have only seen a few episodes of Umbrella Academy. So I have no idea what was going on with that shit.
First season was all right, and second season just, I don't know.
It went a little down the woke travel, and the third season went so far up woke alley that it's too far gone to say, yeah. To be honest.
What's her face? What's that girl's name or guy's name? Whatever the fuck she is.
It was Ellen, but now it's Elliot Page.
Elliot, yeah.
They should have just removed her after the first season. Made her disappear.
If she didn't want it, here's the thing. This is why I find this so hilarious. She converts to a guy. Fine, whatever. It's your choice. You're an adult. She can't play a female anymore. Like that's insulting to her because, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like the character's female. Do they have to change the character for her? That was the thing that was killing me about
the
that show.
The wild thing about that show is everybody turned on a dime. Like, oh yeah, you're a dude now. No one had any questions. Nobody.
And the show already had, I mean, and not in a woke way. They had a really good LGBT character in the one character
that could talk to the dead,
that could see the dead people. He had a good arc. He was a good character. They did not, and when they did the whole change with Elliot Page, you know, it was just like, okay, you're just upstaging what he did. So why this is shit, you know, at this point.
Neil McDonough played William Birkin. He was in Ravenous, Justified. An Arrow. I forgot who he played in Arrow, but he was in there a lot.
Damien Dark. He played one of the bad guys in it.
Yes. Oh my God. He had the freaking, and those are his real eyes.
I want to go back to Tom Hopper for just a second. Mm-hmm. His Albert Wesker is weird because the Albert Wesker in the game is like a scientist. He's in on everything. I mean, even if he does get, he's kind of got the buff thing going on. Tom looks the part. He could have played Albert very well. But why they made him like a dumb jock character for most of this movie is the weirdest change that they made for that character. Yeah. Because he doesn't really know what's going on. He's just like, somebody's sending me messages, you know?
He looks like Neo from...
It's a weird change. I don't know why they did it. He looks the character, though.
Yeah.
They did a good job casting him.
Yeah.
It's just they should have... I don't like how they wrote him, necessarily.
He died technically in the movie, then.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I didn't know if they had like a little thing at the very end or whatever
where he's still alive.
They did.
Or...
He is. They had a scene.
Okay.
Ada Wong shows up.
Oh
they
yeah.
They bring him back to life, and they give him the glasses, the one that he wears in the game, the sunglasses.
Okay, right. That makes sense. Which brings me to Lily Gal, Ada Wong.
Neil McDonough, though, I want to say about him, that guy is based as fuck. That guy's like uber like Christian and all that. Oh, so like
he, who is
it's weird that he plays such evil characters, but like he's in real life
he's always a bad guy.
He's always the bad guy in everything he plays in. Just
who's this you're talking about?
Neil McDonough,
the guy who played William Birkin in the movie.
Here, I'll show you a photo. Scientist.
Okay,
he's been in a lot of fucking
he was in Suits and a ton of other stuff.
Yeah.
And he's always a bad guy. But and it's funny because in real life, he's very committed to his marriage. Like he's, you know, he's totally moved away from Hollywood just so he's, you know, doesn't have that, like, you know, and I think he's got like provisos that he won't even have sex scenes because he don't even want that, you know, temptation and all that. So,
man,
just a different, I just weird that he plays like bad guys all the time, but like he's, you know, super, like everybody says he's super nice too when he's on the set and all that. So kind of weird.
Interesting. I mean, that's kind of cool. It's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah, he really is.
Everything I've seen him in, he's always good. Yeah. From Yellowstone to Suits to
he fucking stuff. Used to drive me crazy on fucking Green Arrow. Yeah, he made me not like him. He was so fucking weird. Lily Gal, Ada Wong. Dream Scenario.
I believe that's the movie that's got Nick Cage as a Freddy Krueger type. He keeps appearing in people's nightmares or whatever.
What? Yes. What is? Hold on. We're not going to glance over that.
What's the name? He is an average guy, balding with a beard, and randomly starts appearing in everybody's dreams, and steadily those dreams become more and more into nightmares, and nobody knows why they're dreaming about him.
What's the name of the movie?
Dream Scenario, I believe is the name of it.
When did it come out?
Just a few years back. And actually, just so you all know, Nick Cage plays the serial killer in this new movie called Long Legs, and it's supposed to be amazing.
Like I want to see
you
that.
You can't tell that it's him. They did such a good job on the makeup for that, and it's one of the best acting things he's done in years, is what they said.
Hmm.
Yeah, I keep seeing pre-era clips and trailers for the Long Legs. I hella want to see that.
Lily Gao, who played Ada Wong, was also in Resident Evil 4 Separate Ways. I'm assuming that was she the voice actress, or did she...
For the same character, yes, Ada Wong. She did in the movie. But she did the DLC voiceovers, what they had her do.
Which is awesome. Also, she looked like Ada Wong.
She really does. I mean, they did a good job, really good job casting Ada Wong.
They should have made her black.
And a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's not, I don't want to come off improperly here, but she's Asian. That's dark hair. That's all they had to do.
But a pretty Asian. But you got to have that Freda Wong.
You know what? What's the origins of the last name Valentine?
What do you mean?
Like country origins, demographical region. Because I'm going to laugh if Valentine falls into like a country that matches her skin tone that she played in the movie.
It looks like it does.
Italian or
Scottish. English, yeah. Scottish, which is funny because the character is actually British.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So... A German, Croatian. Yeah, it's all the whites, basically. They did throw Italian in there, so there's a little bit of color.
Yeah.
She's British, but her mom's Nigerian, is what I read.
It's hard to look at it like that, because if you live in America or the Brits or the UK or whatever, then you got a highly mixed population.
Yeah.
Are you going to mention our next person on here? He's been in everything. I didn't even attempt to put everything that guy's been in.
And why don't I don't recognize him? And how do I pronounce that? Donald?
Donald Logue, yeah. That's how you say his name.
Donald Logue.
Why does that name sound familiar? What character did he play in the movie?
Oh, he played Chief Irons.
Yeah, he's played a ton of sitcoms, ton of movies. He's been in the Blade movies.
Damn. Well, I haven't seen all the Blade movies. Let me see if there's a movie.
He was just in the first one.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he played the...
He was in Silent Night.
Yep.
He was the cowardly vampire in Blade that kept running and kept getting limbs chopped off. Like, yes. At the end of it, I don't think he had any arms left.
Oh, my God. Raccoon City. I was like, oh, I've seen a Resident Evil. Never mind. I've seen that movie. Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of movies. Not a lot of movies that I've seen, but I haven't seen a lot of movies, so that's my fault. Yes, what you've listed, Blade, Zodiac, and Ghost Rider. I haven't seen Ghost Rider in so long. Yeah. I've only seen that movie
one
time.
He was a shitty... so he ran the newspaper department, or the newspaper that the guy worked, that Jake Gyllenhaal worked for in Zodiac. He was a shitty fucking boss.
Zodiac is in The Killer. Is that what the movie's about? Oh, fuck. I need to see that movie.
Yeah, that's a hell of a good movie.
Nathan Dales, who plays Vickers, the helicopter pilot. I can't word right now. He's in Letterkenny, which Daphne keeps telling me to watch.
That's a hell of a good show.
Oh, it's great. It's so good.
Where do you watch it at?
I can download it.
Hulu primarily has it, but I'm sure you can find other ways.
That sense of humor is right up your alley too, babe. 100%.
Here we go. Synopsis. Reverend, did you want me to get into this, or are you...
Hold on. What'd you think of the storyline, for the most part?
For what? A Resident Evil?
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
All right, Reverend.
The synopsis. An evil pharmaceutical company poisons the populace and causes a bunch of people to die while making mass profits. I'm sorry. Those were the current news headlines. We'll move on to the actual synopsis.
You're talking about Chicago? Like, what...
Yeah, Pfizer and Umbrella are not too far removed from each other. Anyways, years after she was part of an experimental trial by the Umbrella Corporation, Claire Redfield returns to Raccoon City to reconnect with her brother Chris and discover the truth about what happened to them. Unfortunately, a major leak occurs, turning the citizens of Raccoon City into carnivorous zombies, or worse. I'm looking at you, Licker. And now the few remaining survivors must find a way out before Umbrella blows everything up and destroys all evidence of the wrongdoings. Leon is a joke. William Birkin is going for broke. And the zombies just want a Jill sandwich.
I'm going home. You said the Z word. They didn't say that in this here game or movie.
I don't think they ever. I don't think they ever really say it in the first two Resident Evils either.
No, I don't think.
Yeah, they just refer to them as the infected or something like that. They pull that whole number. And the worst thing is, this goes back to the other movies, the Mila Jovovich. You know who was originally tagged to direct those that first movie?
Who?
George Romero.
Oh, that would be good.
And he even had a script written that was, by all accounts, went with the game, was 10 times better than anything they had, and they're like, you know what, we don't want you because we don't think that people like your sort of movies anymore.
Oh, okay.
How dumb is that?
Meanwhile, you got people here just begging him, please take your empire back.
And the shittiest thing is that Resident Evil wouldn't exist without George Romero. It was such the slap in the face. It's like, okay, we admit we kind of have this whole game based upon your stuff in a way. How about you write it for us? And then like, nah, we got this. You suck anyways. It's kind of what they did. So
that's just too damn bad, I guess. I don't know. You want me to get into quotes? You want me to continue?
Yes, go ahead.
Quotes, Jill Valentine, snatching Wesker's sandwich. You snooze, you lose. It's Jill sandwich now.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? How'd that
that's
make
a
it?
Throwback to the game. That's a that was actually a good little throwback to the game.
Which one? I didn't really play.
The very first one.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Because Barry, I think it's a line that Barry says. He's like, you better watch out or they're going, it looks like they about had a Jill sandwich, you know, or something.
You know
like
what
that.
The funny thing is? You saying his name just made me realize they didn't have Barry in the fucking movie.
They didn't.
I don't even remember Barry.
He was a critical part. He was in with Wesker about what was going on, but he wasn't like Wesker. He was doing it for the pay and so that they, because they kind of, they strong-armed him, didn't they? If I remember.
I believe so, yeah. They kind of forced his hand into it.
Yeah. So he was, during the game, he was helping you out, and he had the fucking python. That thing was like a slayer. It was like one-shots on zombies.
Damn.
Yeah, big old burly guy stood like head and shoulders above everybody else and then had like a big massive beard and
yeah,
all
he,
that. So.
He was in the, I think he was in the last movie. If I remember. Yeah, he was in the last movie, wasn't he? Last or second to the last.
You talking about the Mila Jovovich versions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they did put Barry in those.
Yeah, I want to say he was in the second to the last or something like that.
Hmm, interesting. Okay, next quote. Ben Bertolucci, yeah, who doesn't cough up a little blood on the floor when they're feeling sick? You know, going back to that scene, I think this is a scene that really stuck with us because not only have we discussed maybe switching Claire with Leon, okay, that didn't happen, obviously. But I really feel like Ben did a terrible job of explaining what's going on, considering how much he knows, even though Leon was kind of like, you're crazy, or you sound crazy, or whatever. Like saying, hey, man, look, you could think what you want to, but can you please at least get rid of this guy? Because he's going to turn ravenous and attack me.
Yeah, but he's in there being, he's already in there for some kind of reason, doesn't know, and then he's acting like, if somebody was telling you something like that, you'd be like, whatever, fucking cuckoo.
You think this is why they couldn't have Claire go down there?
Claire would have made more sense.
Well, Claire would have. That's it. Because
she would have believed it. It would have changed the whole vibe of what was going down. There would have been a rush to get him the fuck out, and it would have been a little more serious than him.
Do you think it would have changed the storyline too much, though?
No,
I think. Where these people had to figure it out. Because Resident Evil is a puzzle. Yes. You have to figure things out. You don't really have a lot of help except for here and there.
But I'm saying that would have, I think that would have worked good because by then the movie was already heating up. So yeah. It would have lit the spark of like, oh, shit.
Oh, this movie does not fuck and play. It gets heated real fast. I feel like in the game, if this were a video game, if they turned Resident Evil into a game, is anyone going to say anything? No, I'm just kidding. I feel like if this movie were actually the game, if this how the game was, I feel like Leon would have believed Ben because you talked to people.
No, you would have been better off Claire. You would have had to establish a storyline where Claire knew Leon and yeah. They had some kind of not like a sexual relationship, but some kind of relationship of knowing each other.
Yeah.
And then him come down while she was talking to them and then them two putting him in the fucking loop and Claire explaining what the fuck she just saw outside.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, there was a ton of ways to structure that one scene that would have changed the way the movie was heading.
This whole scene was just irritating.
It was
straight up.
And you didn't really see the other creature either, right? I mean, like maybe it's because the 4K is kind of dark. I'm just going to say, watching on that, and like you don't really see much of the guy that's in that cell. They're doing it intentionally, I know. And you get like a split second that you see him, but like. I feel like even just having like a moment where you can see just how fucked up he was before that would have helped too, you know.
When he gets out, he kind of looks like Bub.
Yeah, that's true. You do see him once he gets out.
I feel like a lot of these movies have at least one Bub in them. It's like an homage.
It's funny you say that because the pilot episode for Ash vs. the Evil Dead, I feel like the cop that goes bad, you know, in that beginning of that kind of looks like a version of Bub. But
you think people do that shit on purpose and they just don't say anything? They're just like, well, you think they'll notice?
There's a lot of references to stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure they probably do it on purpose.
To be fair, they were making these people kind of all look the same because they did that with Vickers. Vickers, like, his face changed insanely when he turned.
Are you talking about the movie?
Yeah. When she pulled his, so he crashed the helicopter. Vickers was in the helicopter, right? I'm like, okay.
Yes.
And then when Jill was like, Wesker shot him, Jill like looked at his face and was like, what happened to him? And his face looked like it had been decaying for like at least a week or if not more.
Oh, he kind of just came out of a crash.
That is kind of true, yeah.
That was fire.
But it looked green. It didn't look like he was charred.
Well, I know, but they're kind of loose with the time framing, too, because they give you timestamps, but they don't really...
Yeah.
They're kind of fast and loose with them.
All I know is I played this game, and there was a one of the scientists, and it took, I don't know how many days or weeks, but at the end, he was just like, yum, in his diary.
He was like itchy tasty. Itchy tasty.
So yeah, it takes a while where these people are apparently turning.
Well, he got bit.
What happened with the scientist?
The scientist or Vickers?
The scientist that I'm talking about in the game.
I think the scientist was exposed to the T virus.
Oh, yeah. He was just exposed.
The
okay.
Yeah, the whole mansion had gone shit cow already. So, and you know that, but you don't know how long it's been fucked up for. And not only that, but the Alpha team. Got fucked up even going there. So, like, there's a chain gap. You don't quite know what the chain of events were other than in that moment.
Okay, that makes sense. Jill Valentine walking up to Leon after he blew up the mutilated Birkin. Holy shit, what the fuck did you guys do to this train?
Only thing she does in the whole movie is that line, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm like, did she see what happened? Because it's not just the train y'all were worried about.
And I've got thoughts about that train scene, but we'll get back to those whenever we discuss the story.
Let's get into visuals. Let's just move right into this movie review because we have a lot to say. Visually, this movie was dark.
Here's the thing. I think that they did a good job with the zombies.
Yes.
The zombies were good.
Mm-hmm.
You can debate William Birkin whenever he starts to mutate, but I think that the first incarnation, whenever, you know, McDonough, you know, has just the arm piece or whatever, and those moist, like, eyeballs that are on his arm, I think they did a good job with the CGI on that. The CGI for the full beast at the end of the movie is where it gets a little sketchy. I mean, it's way better than anything that we had in the video games as far as the looks of it, but it was a little, I don't know, it was a little out there. If they would have went more prosthetic with it, I think that would have helped.
I thought William Birkin looked good with the T-virus. I didn't have any complaints about it. I don't know about you.
G-virus.
He had the G-virus?
Yeah, he had the G-virus. Oh, he had the upgraded form, yeah.
Well, aren't they, yeah, I was about to say, aren't they kind of tomato, potato, one of them's more?
No, one's totally different. One, you don't technically die.
Wait, so William Birkin wasn't the tyrant in this one?
No.
Oh,
no.
But the tyrant looks similar, yeah?
You never played Resident Evil 1?
Yeah, that's why.
Did you ever play Resident Evil 2?
No. I watched it. I didn't play it.
That's
so missing. Was the tyrant in 2?
No, it was in 1.
It was in 1. Okay. Oh, that's why I don't know. But okay.
There is a version of the tyrant in 2.
Okay.
It's because it chases one of you. When you're playing the A and the B game, whoever's playing the A game goes after William Birkin at the end. Whoever's playing the B game gets chased by the tyrant for most of it.
Yeah, so Nemesis chases you.
Okay. Oh, Nemesis. Okay, I completely forgot about that. Was that the T-virus that turned him into a tyrant?
No, I think his is the... I don't quite know. They don't go into too much detail about when they drop them off.
It's a different one. If it is a T-virus, it's a modified version for the tyrant, so... Yeah.
Are we looking it up now? Because I really thought it was, I thought it was the T-virus.
But going back on that, I don't think it looks that. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. This is the complaints I've heard from people who are fans of the game, Uber fans. Their biggest issue was William Birkin's like transformation. I think
his final transformation sucked.
His final one was the one that everybody had the issue with.
Oh yeah, kind of looked like a. Venom with
not only that, but it wasn't like it. Like if you play the game, that thing it doesn't resemble anything human by the end of it. He's just this weird conglomeration of like a mass
bubbles and
mass
fucking
with a mouth,
cysts and tumors. Google says that the T-Rivus is a prototype for a tyrant.
Yeah, it's
okay.
If there's anything I remember from that game, I guess it would be that, because that and the zombie turning around in the main hallway at the beginning of it. Which I was so glad they included in this film. The zombie that's actually on the main disc for Resident Evil. Like, when you first got the game, the white-faced zombie. You know which one I'm talking about, the original.
Oh, the one. Are you talking about the one that turns around in the mansion or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that scene. Because they even play it out just like in the game.
In the game.
He lifts up and he turns around and...
But the wild thing too is, I don't know if you're aware, like the original Resident Evil was for Nintendo.
Oh yeah, I didn't get it till PlayStation 1. When I got PlayStation 1, that was when the 2 was already out.
So the original Resident Evil was Biohazard for Nintendo. And it never came to the U.S. And when you played it, that same scene's in there. And when you fight zombies, you don't actually shoot them. There's a bar that pops up with the picture of the zombie. And there's like a swing arm that's moving. You got to press at the right time to shoot the zombie. It's how the game was set up. Huh. But the storyline's exactly the same as Resident Evil.
But there's another game called Biohazard. But it has nothing to do with Resident Evil?
It is a Resident Evil game. Over in Japan, Resident Evil is called Biohazard.
Okay.
Yeah, they kept the name Biohazard in Japan. I do remember that.
Yeah, so if you look up Nintendo Biohazard, it never made it to US. It's Resident Evil, and the game's exactly like it is for the PlayStation. It's very, very close. They basically lifted it and then polished the entire gameplay up.
I am so fucked up right now. What is that game that you used to play? BioShock. Never mind. Just remembered.
I have a question for you, though, regards to the movie. How do you feel? Do you feel like they captured the look of some of the scenes? Like, we're talking about visuals.
Yes.
In particular, the truck at the beginning of it, because that's etched in my mind. If you played Resident Evil 2, the scene where, you know, the semi-truck, you know, happens upon somebody, you know, a zombie in the middle of the road, and then the truck driver gets bit or whatever, that's in the game. Like, I mean, they mimic that. The actual look of the police precinct, like the, at least the lobby section,
yes,
with the big honking statue, I thought was pretty good. Even like the labs and stuff, I think they did a pretty good job like matching the game, like as far as the mansion looked right.
The mansion was amazing. Yeah. It's funny because it feels like the mansion was super, super small, but it does in the game too. Because it's just like, I don't know. You're just immediately in one room, and I know they have to do that for time, because otherwise you're already hours playing this game, trying to, you know, figure out what you have to do next and everything.
Is it most of the mansion stuff in the first game anyways? Because I'll be honest, I never did actually beat that game. 2 is my jam. That's what I started on.
I watched 2. I didn't play it, but 2 was definitely better.
Is it most of 1 I mean, there's a little bit of time in the mansion, but isn't a lot of it underneath the mansion when you start going in the
Can go outside when you collect herbs and get attacked.
So with the mansion, the way it's set up is you have the main mansion, which you have the main house, and then you got adjacent places. So you have one that has the water stuff where the sharks are.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have another one that's like the, what the hell do you call like the place for plants?
Oh, the greenhouse.
It wasn't technically a greenhouse, but it was an experiment facility for them to modify plants.
And you had a fucking plant that attacks you.
Yep. And then you had the, and I want to say the hunters were located, I don't know if they were located in an adjacent building or if they were in one of those places up in, but, and then you had the other adjacent facility, which was where Tyrant was, which is where all the testing labs were. So it wasn't like in the movie where the movies, like the first movie where it's a giant hive underground.
Yeah.
It's a very low-key facility underground that's not massive like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And then I know one thing they had in this film, which probably if you didn't play one or you don't remember one, but you have the dead raven, and those zombie ravens fucking attacked you in the first game when you went outside to collect herbs.
Well, they fucked up the one dude, the one guy, shit, what the hell is his name? The guy that goes upstairs first, what's his name?
I don't remember who the character is. It's not Barry, but there's another character in the movie that's like an also-ran guy that's kind of like the side guy or whatever.
Yeah, but that guy was supposed to be a part of Alpha Team, if I remember. He wasn't even supposed to be part of Bravo. He was supposed to be part of the first wave. And then when he goes upstairs, he actually gets eaten by the crows because he's trying to run from the zombies.
He was in the first movie? Was this the first movie or Raccoon City?
The game.
Oh, the game. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I forgot his name.
I liked how they combined the two games, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know this is getting in the story. This is the part that my buddies... who were uber fans of the games, really hate. They said that they tried to combine too much in one movie, and they kind of did, but I feel like that the guy who wrote this, Johannes or whatever, I feel like he was smart in how he combined them, because having both groups start out, you know, interacting in that cafe and then sending Leon and Claire off to the, you know, to the police station, and then sending the, you know, Bravo team or whatever off to the mansion. They got basically the gist of both games in one movie.
If I remember, the timelines are that they overlap.
Yes,
they do. I mean, 100%.
Yeah. You know, it would have been awesome too. If they brung in Rebecca Chambers' character on the train coming in.
Yeah, doesn't the second one start with the train?
No, so Rebecca Chambers, her storyline is a prequel leading up to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think the problem is when you introduce hers, it fucks up the entire... No, it doesn't, because hers takes place during the event of everything. So hers is like a lead-in intro, and then she ends up running into Chris after everything hits the fan.
Yeah, hers could have... But there was too much in this movie. They couldn't really done much with her, or they would have sacrificed some shit.
Either that or just pushed the movie out to a longer movie. Because the movie was good. It was good to watch. Like, if it was longer, that wouldn't have bothered me at all.
It was all right.
Really? It's come from the person who's kept farting repeatedly because they were nervous.
I was not farting last night. I was screaming. The neighbors probably thought you were murdering me. Oh, my God. Going back to visuals real quick, before we move into storyline, one of my favorite things was the dog. They made that dog look so good. And they even had, stupid details that I caught, but if you remember the game when you first encounter the dogs, they jump in the fucking window, scare the flying fuck out of you.
I do remember that scene. I did play that part of the first game.
Yes, and you see this drooling fucking behemoth of a fucking dog coming after you, but when it walks, its body moves in a way like its meat is just kind of jiggling. It's almost like its body is twerking, you know. This dog's body did that.
The weird, yeah, I'll agree. I thought the dog looked really good too. Now, as it kind of works in the story a little bit, I thought it was an interesting twist that they did, that they got the dog by having him be part of the trucker situation, because that's not what happened to the trucker in the original in part two.
Yeah.
Trucker gets bit. He's like, what the fuck did they bite me for? And then, of course, he turns and then crashes. And all that stuff happens just like it does in the movie. But making it the dog that licks up the blood, now that was actually a neat twist.
Yes.
It was a change that brought in the dog later,
yes,
but also allowed the guy to still get bit by something.
You know? And it allowed the dog to be in other places, whereas I believe the dogs were experiments in the first game.
Yeah, yeah.
Babe, is that correct? I thought the dogs were experiments in the fucking...
I don't know
Resident Evil.
So much if they're experiments or so much guard dogs for the compound for what they're doing.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
And
they
just happen to be subsequently get infected.
Yeah.
I do remember they were the first things that ran you into the mansion because weren't they the things that whenever you came up on Alpha Team they...
If I remember, it was a hunter that they ran across in the woods.
Okay.
So Alpha came in, Alpha got wiped out, then Bravo got dropped off, and then they ran across a hunter also, which forced them into the mansion. Like, and if you try to go back out, it's like, I'm not going to go back out there.
I knew they got chased in by something, and that kind of left you. The only thing, the one thing I remember, and this might have just been like an Easter egg, it might not have been a real thing, because I didn't play the first game. I know in 2, there was an alleyway that if you went down at the beginning, as you were trying to fight your way into the police station, you know, through all the zombies, especially if you're playing Leon's side, that you saw the helicopter there and an undead Vickers was in the alleyway. So he made his way back to the police station after the events of part 1, but he turned and then that's when you meet him that way, which is, you know, obviously not how they did it in the movie, but
if I remember, there's 2 outcomes to that. So like, you can run across Vickers and see the scenario where Nemesis kills him or whatever. Not kills him, but turns him in. Kills him, whatever. I don't quite know how to explain that, but anyways, you catch that in the game. But if you play the other side of it, I think with Claire, you get to see you have to play it a certain way, and you can run across Vickers after he's been turned. So like one way you get to see him with Leon, he's alive, and you get to watch him be killed. And the second part is you get to see the aftermath where he's been turned into a zombie. And I think if you find him and you kill him, you get a key that unlocks something hidden later in the game.
Okay.
So it's like a certain, it's a certain sequence. You got to play it in a certain time frame, and it gives you the ability to interact, see him, kill him, and then take an item from him.
Which the neat thing about the game, having the 2 scenarios, part 2, was that if you were playing the A game, whoever you were playing with in that scenario, which I think the canon is A is Leon and B is Claire, I think. But anyways, if you found a really neat item, but you left it there in the B game, it was better for the person that picked it up in the second run through, whoever you were playing.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say it had like more ammo capacity. It was generally did more damage. It was like you were making the B game easier if you made the A game harder, you know?
Yeah. Well, technically it's 4 games in 1 because you can start off as Chris and then you get the B game as Claire. Or you can start off as Claire, and then you get the B game with Chris. But if you start
with Leon?
Leon, my bad. Yeah, so if you start with Leon, you take that route Leon goes with, and then you play the back end with Claire. But if you start with Claire, then you play where Leon would have went, and it switches the roles. So it ends up being like 4 games.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, and I like how they did that. But, I mean, just going by the story, going back into that for this movie, there was a lot that they worked in from the games, and I don't think that the guys who hate it so much from the video that are like, you know, because first of all, I just got to throw it out there. You will never be able to take a 20-30 hour game with all the story that comes up in it and make it and condense it into a movie that conveys the same amount of information. It's just like, I mean, and I told this to the guys that I knew. I was like, listen, I said, you don't know what it's like being a Stephen King fan and having to watch those 1,000-page novels be turned into an hour and a half, 2-hour movie. But they have to do something. They have to condense it because they can't put all that on there.
Well, that's true.
Not even so much that. Just look at TV shows where you have the room to breathe and develop the story, and look how much they fail.
And they still condense stuff because they have, I mean, because, and the thing is, video games are closer to movies. They are both visual mediums, so I'll give them that. But there is still things that you get in the games that they can't necessarily do, because there's a lot of like reading things. There's a lot of there's a lot of like, you know, voiceover, like you pick up and like listen to voice recording messages and stuff. They could do that kind of, but that doesn't really play that well in a movie or a TV show.
No. It's good when you're controlling the story. Well, when you're watching something, it just seems like a waste of time.
So, I mean, so what's your all's thoughts on that? Did they do a decent job of condensing those two games into one movie?
It's hard for me to say because I've only watched part two be played. I didn't play it. I've only played one. So I didn't notice anything. Even having only played one and watching two, there wasn't anything that bothered me or stood out and said, you know, that doesn't make sense.
All I have to do is look at the track record of the movies they put out and see kind of shit they put out. And then they put this one out. I was like, yeah, this should have been the first movie.
It should have.
Yeah. Out of all the ways that you could get as close as you can to executing the idea of the games, this is hands down the closest.
As a big fan of part two, I feel like they did part two justice. Now, they might not have did part one justice, because I know that the mansion was truncated. So that's up to you all to say if they gave, you know, enough, you know, time to that. But the movie was basically part two. I mean, that's what they were going after. Now, they cut out a lot of, you know, Leon or Claire, whoever, having to, like, take, you know, item or, you know, like statuette A, put it in alcove B, open up. But that stuff is fine in a video game, but it's stupid in a movie anyways. Yeah, that don't make any sense.
Not that, but if you think about it, okay, so the mansion's a place where scientists work, but you have to do all these special hidden crest gems so they can get to work. Like, that doesn't translate into a movie. It works good in a game because you're so busy focused on figuring out the puzzle, you don't realize how absurd that is.
And they did give credit to that in the movie, because Wesker does play Midnight Sonata on the piano, just like in the game, yeah, and opens up that wall.
Yeah. But that, to me, that worked just to the fact there wasn't – it made sense, like there would be a hidden passage and a way to access it for higher-tier people. But to make the entire game a puzzle or make the entire movie a puzzle-solving movie, would, I think the translation from that would have been like, the fuck are we doing?
Oh, it'd been awful. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. I'm like, I've never really been able to get out of people what they want out of the movie. They're like, well, they should have shown this. They should have shown this scene with Chris and whatever. It's like, but you're asking for a TV show if you're asking for that, because there's no way that a movie can do all that.
See, part of me wishes what they would do instead of doing a movie or a TV show is to just do a flat-out miniseries. You have a scheduling for six episodes only, nothing more, nothing less, and it gives you so that would be a minimum of 6 hours to tell the entire story. Or not that, but you just make as many episodes as you can to tell the whole story and get the full scope.
I feel like 8 is always a good number. 6 is always too short. 8
feels like you're going to have a lot of filler in there.
It's possible.
Because in the, what was the movie, like two and a half hours long or whatever it was?
I don't remember.
It's something like that. It's around 2 hours and some
so
change.
So within
yeah.
2 hours and some change, they were able to cover a ton of ground. There's parts that get rushed in the movie. Mm-hmm. But so if you were to push it out to even 4 or 5 episodes, you have enough room now to actually do a deep thing. And I think that would do good on a streaming platform. You just do a miniseries and you're just like, this is the end of it. We're going to tell the story. But you do a hell of a good job executing it, and it gives you plenty of time to do it.
I feel like episodes give opportunities to people like me to not return to finish watching.
My only thing, too, is I don't know what the return is by making a miniseries. Like, if you make a movie and it goes to the theaters, you have a potential to
depends
make more
on how
revenue.
Chicken shit the people are watching it. Like, for instance, me, I love, what's that one TV show that I liked watching, but I wouldn't continue watching it with, what's his name in it? God, why can't I think of that? Hispanic. He's gotten real popular. He played in The Mandalorian.
Last of Us.
Last of Us, Pedro Pascal.
Watch what? One or two episodes? It was hella good, and I won't continue watching it.
I won't watch it.
The one thing I didn't like about the story in this movie is rewatching it, that whole intro scene with them as kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't play well. Upon repeat viewings, it's not needed.
You know what it was giving me? Like. I'm not a fan of it either. It doesn't explain a lot. It's supposed to give us why Claire ran away, but I don't think it does a great job and kind of bring you back to that one character who's in there. It's like, oh, you remember her from the beginning? Well, guess who's back? You know, I didn't like it, but it was giving me, Stranger Things.
If they didn't have that scene in there, would it have been better not to acknowledge it whatsoever, or have like maybe a flashback, like a quick flashback that she's like, you know, before, to give time so that the character makes sense, that weird character that she meets, just have like a quick scene where she's like looking into, like, I don't know, like a puddle or something, and like she sees an image of that and it like flashes her back or something, you know. I don't know.
Something.
I don't think it was needed. I'm just saying that was another way to do it without having that intro scene.
I think what they were trying to do is they were trying to establish Claire and that character, whatever it was. I don't know if it was a zombie. I don't know. As a friends, you know, which is why she helps her, but it doesn't make sense.
It introduces William Birkin, but do we need that scene to get, because do we get enough of him in the movie to kind of get his background without having that scene? Because really, that scene doesn't really tell us anything about him other than he's a scientist.
Mm-mm. I think the scene alone, when they get down to wherever they're going, where William goes to get the G-virus, I think that scene alone tells you everything you need to know about him. His wife's like, what are you doing down here? There's a fucking woman on the table practically begging for help with her chest cavity wide open.
Because the reason I say that is because the game, especially the remake for part two, starts up with a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is so, I mean, once it, with the truck driving scene occurs, it's good. It's mm-hmm. just like that first scene, you're like, oh my God, I forgot this was in this movie. I feel like that first scene just needs to be just cut out. Like, it doesn't really help that much.
We didn't need it. I don't even feel like we needed the girl in the orphanage to help, because the thing about Resident Evil is you had to look through drawers, you had to read notes, you had to look for clues. There wasn't always somebody there to point something out or open a door for you.
That's a good point. If they would have reworked that scene, wrote her out completely, have it to where the two of them barely working together, barely took mm-hmm. out the liquor, and then they find, like, you know, they're rumbling through and one of them finds a note, that would have been way more to the game anyways and cut out that whole the need for that to begin with.
And what is that girl? Because she got bit by the liquor. Is she going to be infected now? Is she already infected? What is she?
She looked like she had a weird version of the T-virus.
Yeah.
Like, she, you had know, but was still alive.
Yeah, obviously it's supposed to be like, oh, we're experimenting on children. I get it. Whatever. Yada, yada, yada.
It's just that scene stands out like a sore thumb. I'm like, this was not needed.
It was not needed. It was a waste of time. It was definitely a snooze fest part of the movie. And then going back, when you're playing this game, you don't get, the warning you get of the liquor is the fucking, when the video starts of you seeing it crawling on the ceiling. Other than that, you have no indication. And if I'm correct, you meet the liquor after you get fucked up by one of the dogs. So you go from one major scenario to the next. Like, there's no stopping.
Not in part two.
Not in part two?
If they're following part two, the scene with the liquor is you're going down a quiet, quiet hallway in the police precinct, and all of a sudden you hear somebody behind you, like, you know, scream, and I think they get lifted up just like Chief Irons does, and all of a sudden then the liquor jumps down on you.
Yeah, you fight your way to the police station, you get there, you find it abandoned, and then you start going through it. And when you cut to the left, you go down this hallway, and that's where you interact with the liquor.
Yeah, I don't know why they had the orphanage. I get like, oh, well, there's underground tunnels. I feel like being the kind of town that Raccoon City was, I feel like the police station probably could have had something like that. Or they just had to organically get there by foot.
I want to say that, and I could be remembering this wrong, I want to say there's an underground facility that you get to from the police station in part two.
There is.
Because when you go down there, that's when you get the flamethrower, and there's those weird plant creatures that you got to set fire to. You know, because that's where they've been doing their, you know, all their lab work and everything. Yeah.
See, the orphanage would have made more sense if they played more into it, that Umbrella was using as a testing facility for all the kids. Like, if they would have pushed that narrative a little bit more,
Maybe throw some fucking actual zombie kids out that fucking started the prob. Started the drama.
I'm just looking at it from Umbrella's position. Like, if you're a corporation
that's doing shit like that, it makes sense.
An orphanage is an awesome place because you can just bullshit the numbers all day long. Like, yeah, this kid got adopted from another town.
The problem is that they executed it very poorly because they did. You know that they were testing on kids, hence why they had that character, you know. With the fucking, I don't know, the ballerina virus, whatever the fuck she had. I don't know.
She looks like the little girl from Hereditary, and if you know, you know.
I don't know. Have not seen it. We're holding on to that one. We're holding that one on close to heart for me. But yeah,
that movie will fuck you up, but anyways.
But yeah, so they tried to make it. I just think they did a very piss poor job of executing it.
That scene stuck out to me, and I felt like they had to rush the ending because they'd already used up the time from that. And I could have dealt with more scenes really on the train because that gets back to that I was wanting to bring up. That is so short in the movie that it's almost laughable. It's like they're sitting there, they think everything's fine. The train's going, then the big monstrosity, which is, it's not great. I mean, it could have been better. Mm-hmm. Could have been looked more like, you know, William Birkin did. Breaks in, quick, you know, rocket launcher after a couple of shots and you know, taking out a couple of the eyes, which you do in the game. They did get that right. You take the eyes out first. But then, and then it blows up. It's just like, this was so quick, like, if you would have cut that beginning and then spent more time where he's like, they think that they've got him off the train, or even had a scene where they have to get, one way they try to get rid of him is they try to dump that back section of the train, because I think you do that in the game, and then he still comes back.
Yeah.
That would have made that whole end scene like way more impactful if they would have done something like that.
You know, the ending didn't bother me only because, and when was the train scene? Was that in the first game?
No, second.
It was, okay, so I did watch this. Yeah. Yeah, I watched it. I felt like it was quick watching it back when I did.
There's several sections to that fight in the game. It takes a bit to fully get rid of him because you think you've got rid of him, and then he comes back and he's even stronger than before, and you're like, fuck, I have nothing. And then Ada Wong throws down the rocket launcher and you're like, all right, you know. And then so I got giddy when the rocket launcher came into it. I was like, they got that perfect. But if they just added a little bit more to that scene where he, you know, they actually had to fight him a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably budget-wise and, you know, fucking time-wise, you're probably right. They're just like, okay, and let's wrap it up, you know?
But I feel like the middle part, and I got to bring this up because this movie deserves credit for two scenes in particular. The scene with the itchy, tasty woman, mm-hmm. I think is magnificent, the way that she breaks in and she's almost like a deadite, you know, Claire has to take her out.
Yeah.
And then the scene in the mansion with the flashlight going in and out.
That was...
Yeah, when he was trying to battle his way out of that shit.
That was fucking insane.
It shows you how much of a badass he was.
Badass, and it was fucking scary. Like, that was good.
It was one of the best horror scenes in the movie. And that's what I hold up to the people who detract from this movie. I'm like, but dude, this has legitimate good horror scenes in it. Like, you know, it succeeds at being a horror movie, you know?
The only thing about it is, yes, he was a badass. Like, we're not gonna, like, this fool wanted to live. That's my biggest thing about horror films. How much do you want to live if you're gonna survive? Or if you're going to be a survivor. And it just didn't seem like it was likely because at some point that there was hordes of these scientist zombies. And then at some point there was just one here and there, it felt like. Like, what happened to the group that was attacked? That one guy, was gone.
Well, it's dark as fuck. It's not like they can see what's going on either.
The zombies?
Yeah. So even though they are zombies, a lot of them still rely on their eyesight.
Kind of set that up in the scene.
I guess they don't really specify that, though, in Resident Evil, if they can smell you or whatnot.
Even if you can smell you, that don't mean shit. Yeah. You can't see if something's blocking you.
That's insane. But, yeah, that was that scene, by far, one of the best horror, especially in zombie films, I probably have ever encountered.
Battling his way the fuck out of that.
Everywhere you turn, there was a fucking zombie.
Yeah, I thought those scenes made the movie, honestly.
Oh, 100%.
The other stuff was icing on the cake for me, but, like, those scenes, and whenever they were like, I didn't like that movie, I'm like, dude, the scene with the flashlight, you didn't like that scene? It's like, well, it was all right, but there was so, but they didn't have the alligator. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Okay.
look how good of a job they did with that movie compared to the first Resident Evil movie.
Yeah. The first Resident Evil movie left me kind of confused. I was like,
there's so many discontinuities or like divergence from like logical sense making in the movie that
they were just, it felt like they were trying to make their own world of Resident Evil. They weren't like, oh, well, there's the games, but then here's the movies. And
it's just that original Resident Evil movie, I got a perfect comparison. That original Resident Evil movie with Mila Jovovich is like the Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins. It's in name, the video game, but it has nothing to do with the fucking game that it's based on.
Yes, that's a good analogy.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. No, I know. That's basically, I don't know.
It was cool when it came out because it was like, okay, well, we have something. Everyone had been waiting for a Resident Evil movie. You can't tell me that we weren't waiting for it. And we got it and we're like, okay, I think at the time we accepted it. I don't know how people feel now that this movie has come out. I wonder if their thoughts have changed. Like, hey, those were okay, but that's not Resident Evil. This is Resident Evil.
And here's the thing that kills me. I've heard this argument from some people. They can accept that first Resident Evil movie with Mila Jovovich because it's not like the game, so it's its own thing. But because this movie is so close to the games but doesn't succeed being like the games, that's why they view this one poorly. And I'm like, that makes no sense to me. It's like this one, it shot for the moon, and maybe it didn't hit it, but it got somewhere. I mean,
you took two giant long video games, if you play the game out like you're supposed to, and you condensed it into a movie, and they did a hell of a good job condensing as much as it could.
I'm trying to throw out there like the things I've heard about this, the reason it gets mixed reviews, and I just feel like the video game fans, I mean, the only way they're going to be happy is if they get a CGI animated movie, or because they can even get like the voice actors and actresses. Or get like a mini series / one season television show that perfectly syncs up or well as perfectly as you can get, because you still can't get the games.
Correct.
And I feel like, I mean, I get it to a certain extent, and that would be okay. But for what they did with this movie, give them credit, because that Johannes, you could tell he loves the games. He put in enough references, and he got what the games were about. I feel like.
I just don't get people that, even the CGI Resident Evil movies, I don't fucking like them.
Like, I'm not a fan of them. There's one that came out recently where it starts out and Leon's protecting the president, and it started out okay, and then it just kind of went to shit because it started like this whole thing about Afghanistan and how Umbrella was creating like super soldiers, and I'm like, I don't want to hear about
and
this.
See that, but that's the problem with the CGI ones. They're always good like a quarter of the way through, maybe even halfway. Then at that point, they start to fall apart rapidly. And I don't know what it is.
I feel about those movies those CGI ones as I do about that Final Fantasy movie, Spirits Within. Looks good. Totally soulless, and I don't remember anything about them once they're over with. Like, there's nothing to them.
I'm looking online, and it looks like there may potentially be a sequel.
Yes, I sent that. I actually sent one to you in the Discord.
Okay.
Where Dread Central talked about that.
Okay.
So it did okay enough for Sony to look to possibly make a sequel. And they're talking about that they're going to bring in Wesker, you know, like modified and continue on with the story. So if they do that, and I don't know which story they're going to go with, because, I mean, Jill's already out, so you can't do Nemesis necessarily, but you can do another story with Nemesis if you wanted to go that route. I mean, I just kind of hope they recast Jill if they do a whole movie that kind of focuses on her.
You know what the shitty part, too, is? It's like they've after this movie came out, they made a show. I think it was on Netflix, the Resident Evil one. And that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
I just read an article. Awful.
Fucking sucked. It was bad.
Wasn't it the same production? It was the same production company, too, ironically.
I know.
Umbrella Corporation or Umbrella Productions.
And that's the shitty part, too.
Yeah.
That whole thing kind of throws my idea of, like, doing the miniseries in the trash. Because all they're going to do is just do that shit. They're going to just not even make use of the time they have to tell the story.
But if it, I'm looking forward to a sequel, because after this ended, I was kind of like pumped, and I'm like, okay, I like that. I want to see what they can do with futures. Like, for instance, if they did like a modified version of Resident Evil 4, which a lot of people love, that could really work. I mean, now they would have to make Leon actually act like Leon for that to work, but that would be, I think that could be a fun movie. Because those Plague of Zombies are way worse than anything that was in Resident Evil 2. Because when you shoot their heads off, some kind of weird centipede thing pops up out of the body.
I'm trying to remember Resident Evil 3, the game. What the hell was it?
It was just Jill running away from Nemesis and repeatedly, you can take him out, like, you know, if you get enough stuff.
Yes, but, yes, okay. Now I remember.
Yeah, yeah, and they can't really do that because that was happening technically while 2 was going on.
It was called Nemesis, huh?
Yeah, so they can't really do, they've kind of, I mean, they blew up Raccoon City, so they can't really do much with that now. But yeah,
So what was the name of that character that was following you around? That wasn't Nemesis. What the hell was that?
Was it Tyrant? I thought they called him something else. Like,
what, in Nemesis?
In Resident Evil 2, the guy that they drop off to chase you down. Because number one has Tyrant, and Tyrant's that modified one that breaks out of the... If I remember, Tyrant breaks out of the lab, and then he hurts Wesker. And then you go into the battle with him at the end of the game. And the second one that they drop off...
Mr. X.
That's what it was.
Yes. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I can't remember his name because I had a buddy back in high school when these games first came out, and he called him Harvey Wallbanger after the mixed drink because he literally would just bust through walls.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. When he did that the first time in that game, busted through a wall, it made us shit our pants. Like, because we were sitting there, we're like,
I'm safe.
Some bitch can't get in here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he busts through the wall, and it's like, oh my God, the game just changed.
I'm trying to. So Resident Evil 3, the Nemesis, Jill goes back to the police station after the aftermath, right?
I don't know if it's the police station. I don't know if maybe it is, and she's there right before the nukes are dropped, which, by the way, they show one of the Umbrella, like, super agents that's keeping Chief Irons from, like, leaving town. It looked just like Hunk. If you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about. It looks like Hunk. He's like the badass that they sent in there to clear out the sewers or whatever in part two. Thankfully, they didn't show Mr. Tofu. That's a whole other thing.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever play with Tofu?
I never did play with Tofu. I did get to play with Hunk, which was pretty cool, but not Tofu.
Yeah, Tofu, you gotta play the game like a perfect scenario. Like, I forgot what all the different stuff you had to do to unlock him.
And he literally only had a knife, didn't he? Wasn't that all he had?
Just a block of tofu with a knife.
Oh, my God. We need to move on. No more. Right. I'm over tofu right now.
All right, acting. We've kind of covered this with our depictions of the characters.
Yeah.
Music. This has weird soundtrack to it.
Yeah, it does.
The Cardigans? Like, what the fuck?
Well,
like,
it's because it's based in 1998.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they did set it in the time period when the game came out. That was kind of cool.
That was a good one. But we have the Cardigans playing My Favorite Game. They have Time of Our Lives, which I'm pretty sure that's that, what do you call it, Dirty Dancing song? Yeah. Crush, which was the song that Leon was listening to when he was asleep while the truck was crushing.
Yeah.
Any Way You Want It by Journey.
That's what Donald Logue was listening to as Chief Irons whenever the Hunk and the other guys were shooting at him.
Yeah. And then What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
What's going on?
Yeah, which, what is going on? Losing My Favorite Game was funny to me, obviously, I told you, because this is a video game. It's just funny. I thought it was funny. And that was when Claire had switched the radio station because the trucker was being a weirdo. And she changed the radio station, and that's the song that was playing.
Yeah. And that Crush song was funny just because it established, like, Leon. If you're going to make him goofy, that's the way to make him goofy. Yes. It's like he listens to some shitty pop music, you know.
Hey, that was a good song back then, okay? Jennifer Page really fucking blew up for that one hit wonder, okay?
I'll take your word on that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think it had really good music, but I think the composed music, too, was very appropriate for the movie. I mean,
it was, and it hit the right scene or the notes that, you know, literally whenever it needed to emphasize the horror.
Yes,
you know?
It kept the energy and the flow of the movie, which you need. I think the music, if more than anything, provided like a comedic relief, which this movie you don't get a lot of. Unfortunately, I know Leon is probably supposed to be that. I don't think he's as good as a comedic relief as the music is, honestly, because you will kind of want Leon to fucking get his shit together as Claire.
And it's really funny. I know they couldn't make him this, but the guy who plays Vickers is, you know, from Letterkenny, is so good at comedy that it's kind of bad that he couldn't, you know, throw something in there.
So, you know. Overall, a lot of things to enjoy about the movie, honestly. There's things to pick apart. No movie has really been perfect.
No, and I mean, I only bring that stuff up because I know the I didn't even cover half the shit that I've heard, like, leveled at me about why this movie's quote-unquote bad, and I'm just like, I don't agree with your statement.
I'm kind of curious, what's some of the other things they have a critique about it?
It's all comparisons to the games, and it's just like, dude, you cannot get the game in a movie. You cannot get that game in this movie.
No, good games have their puzzle solving. It's hard. There's a giant disconnect to put that into a movie. It feels like wasted time in a movie.
But I tried to play the devil's advocate because I told you I would, you know, on the podcast before, to play, you know, that critic, but I love this. I actually like this movie quite a bit. I really do. So I think that of modern zombie movies, especially, I mean, this is really the first zombie movie in a theater that we've gotten years, like almost a decade. I mean, outside, well, I take that back. Zombieland 2, but that's a different story. I mean, outside of it, I mean, this is one of the first ones, and I think they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, also considering the fact that this is, you know, everybody who knows Resident Evil, in movie form, or they probably came to this and are like, where's Mila Jovovich, you know? And it's just like, that's not what this is. They're like, what the fuck is it, you know?
Think about other shit.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, for them to come from that series in movie form, just get rid of all that and try to make it based upon the games, they did a good job.
Yeah, I think this was kind of it was an unexpected hit because we were just coming, not even really coming out. 2020 is when COVID was like, oh my God, it's the coronavirus, you know, or COVID-19. So we had to deal with that in 2020. 2021 was, more than 2 weeks to straighten the curve, you know?
And it was also the jab, which,
oh God,
it fits with this movie.
One of those, you can't do anything unless you, I know events, a lot of events where you can't do this unless you have, you know, your card showing.
Yes.
You know, you've gotten this, and it's like, for real? Like, so people were having a hard time going anywhere. So they're just like, fuck it. I just won't go anywhere then.
Yeah, and people are still like that today. That's why they were thinking that with Furiosa and Garfield doing as bad as they did Memorial Day weekend, that basically movie theaters are fucked. I mean, because people got out of the habit of going to movies, and they're like, give it to me at home. Like, I don't have to deal with all the shit, and I don't, you know, and I don't have to pay, you know, even if I have to pay $20 for four people, that's $120 bill, not $20 per person to watch this.
Exactly. That. Then you buy snacks and everything else, and then it's like, woo.
I think Cinemark is doing pretty good with, you know, we have the movie club, So, and we don't go to the movies every month, so our tickets kind of build up. So sometimes we have four tickets, sometimes we have two. But even if we only have two, you can get the next two tickets discounted, severely discounted. So even if I'm paying, even if we don't have any of the movie club passes and I'm paying for all of us, it's like maybe $30-something dollars for four of us to go to the movies. And the popcorn, which used to be in the teens to purchase a large popcorn, it's running about $7 a bucket now, which, I mean, yeah, that's $7. You don't have to pay that. You know, we usually go to the Dollar Tree and or Walmart and get us some sodas and candy. You know, you don't have to worry about that. But it, they're doing better. But I think where Cinemark is really killing it, because they sell out almost every event in our area, is the Fathom events.
But and well, that's what I was going to say, though. It's the problem, the reason the movie theaters are quote-unquote dying is because the stuff that they have to offer isn't worth paying for.
That is true.
I mean, it's think about when this movie came out, 2021. This was right at the in the thick of the woke nonsense movement.
Yeah.
Like, it's gotten worse since, but this was in the thick of it, and this movie ain't woke.
No.
It's got some moments where it's you know, a little bit, but it ain't woke. Mm-hmm. I mean, the male characters, they don't always defer to women. They don't. There's a couple moments where some of them get saved by a woman, but then the woman gets saved by the guy later.
Yeah.
So it equals out.
A tit for tat.
Yeah, and it's not the Disney Acolyte shit that's going on right now. That's the death of
best
everything.
Show ever. Oh my
God. I can't believe they actually came out bragging with how gay the characters
come watch
are
our gay ass shit. Nah, I'm good.
Oh no, they actually said that. They said if you're a bigot and you don't like that, then don't watch it. And it's like, well,
done.
I'm not
that
going
was,
to
yeah,
thanks.
That was
I have
easy.
A feeling there's
thanks
people that aren't actually bigots that aren't watching it. I have a feeling that a majority of what you think is your audience, your, you know, minorities, if you will, are not watching it because sometimes they're just not Star Wars fans, and
it's
that's okay.
That.
You don't have to be.
Okay, you know what it'd be? If you make your movie over-the-top gay shit, I don't want to watch it. Just as the same way, if I was to sit down a person that didn't believe in religion at all and force them to watch a movie about church and God, what do you think their response? I don't watch that stupid churchy shit.
I'm Catholic. You can't even make me watch religious movies.
I know, but I'm saying though.
Everybody says the same thing. I'm Christian, and in some of those Christian movies, I'm just like, the 50th time in the first 2 minutes they mentioned Jesus, I'm like, I'm out. Sorry that you ain't making an actual movie at this point. You're just preaching at me, you know.
But that's it's a to me it's a same exact thing. Like you can't get mad. Yeah, when you're shoving that shit down my throat and you're not developing a story, you're just pushing an agenda, and it's palatable where we can not palatable but like palpable. You can taste it and see it in every single action of the movie. That you're not even telling a story at that point. You're doing some other shit that I have no interest in.
You're preaching, but
yeah,
just from a different pulpit. Just not, you know,
100%.
And it's, I don't know, it's hilarious that they did like there was some organization that came out with the metrics for who's actually watching the Acolyte, and it ain't women, which is funny because that's what they targeted it toward was women. So they did a bad job at getting their the audience that they were looking for, and they've pissed off the audience they had. So what do you think they're going to get? You know, 15% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I watched two episodes. I watched the first episode because it had one and two in it just to check it out, and I was just like, ugh, insufferable.
Some people are saying it's starting to get a little better after four, allegedly, but it's like, you can't. That's more than halfway through the series.
I don't know why they don't let somebody that's a dark, like a dark director, do the entire Old Republic series. The old school fucking right out of the
books.
Because
Disney put those away into a little treasure chest they like to call Legends. And I don't know, like, do you think it's just some sick joke? They're just like, okay, we got all this amazing fucking shit that, you know, let's just fuck this series up. And then all of a sudden we come out with this amazing shit. You think that's in the thoughts? It's probably not. That's just my dream. Like, they're just doing the shit to us on purpose, and then all they're going to pull out the fucking goods.
They locked all that away because they have to pay royalties to the people who actually, like Timothy Zahn, who actually wrote those original series. And they don't want to pay them. So what they're doing is they're keeping them back there and mining from them. That was even said by Bob Iger. He's like, we are IP mining is what we're doing.
You're doing a shitty job at mining.
Well, they're mining turds. They're not mining the actual gold.
What do you mean by they're mining? Like they're taking
bits from it. So like this new series, these lesbian witches in the Acolyte are the witches of Dathomir, which have amazing, you know, stories.
Their stories are hella good.
No, I am aware of that. I've read about them.
But they're taking the name and then they're making shit with that name is what all they're doing.
That's fucked up. So they're so Timothy Zahn is not getting. I've read quite a few of his books.
The fact that they pulled whatever his name Thrawn back out, and they've got this shitty version of Thrawn in the new. They're not paying him anything for it because they're just using the character's name up. And they're not using anything else that's associated with his original series.
I'm hoping his books are at least doing okay for him. Probably not as good as if he were getting paid by fucking Disney for his storylines.
You know what he should do? He should re-release a book franchise called War Stars. And you can just... War Stars. And then you just fucking... You tweak everything, you rewrite it.
Wars of the Stars.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Whores of the Stars. That's what the new series is, but...
Yeah, I just don't get not going for the Old Republic stuff. Like, there is this... an amazing amount of stuff in there.
Well, there is, but I don't think they have the talent to be able to do it. The problem.
They don't. They don't have the writers. They don't have the direction.
Bring the guy who wrote the book in to help you fucking script something.
That would mean that Kathleen Kennedy would have to check her ego at the door and say, okay,
and she'd have to acknowledge.
I don't have to hire a lesbian woman to do this job. I need to hire a man. No, fuck you. I'm going to do it my way. That's what she's been doing the entire time.
I'm telling you, if they did the Bane stuff, that's three books for the Rule 2 series, and it would be awesome. You could fucking push that for like 8 seasons and not run out of material.
Disney is not capable of doing anything that amazing anymore at all. Let's be honest, they're fucking up Disneyland. I don't know how Disney World is doing, but they're fucking up their own like main theme park. Thank God there's a bunch of crazy fucking Disney adults that don't know how to fucking live or anything, and they're just like, "Why I need Disney in my life?"
Seal clap and then go and do whatever.
This is the most amazing place. Is it though? Is this your idea of what amazing is?
My childhood trauma is melting away. No, that's your savings.
I'm going to be dead soon anyways. Well, maybe, but
I think we got some nerve because we'll hit up Universal any chance we get. Oh my God, speaking of Universal, babe.
Yeah, I don't go to Universal and lose my fucking mind because I'm at Disneyland.
That is true.
People go to Disneyland, it's like fucking nonstop selfies. Look how amazing we are at the app. And it's like, yeah, you were just there last month, bitch. Like, what do you like? It's not really amazing when you're going all the time.
It was fun when I found myself high as balls at World of Disney, which is their store, picking out my fake eyelashes because I was so fucking.
But do you understand? You're a grown adult going to Disneyland with no kids.
Yeah, they call those dinks.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's like the
dual income, no kids, dinks.
I don't know how that would be like, because we're like dicks, dual income kids too.
I don't know. I have no interest in going to Disneyland.
Oh my God. Let's move on to trivia.
Okay.
Wait. Actually, no, I wanted to talk to Noah about, so Reverend is going to Universal in August.
Yes, August 29th.
They have a thing called Reverend. Why don't you talk about it so I don't fuck it up?
It's called the Express or Screen Premiere or something like that. But basically, what it is it's the night that they would have given to like the bloggers and all that to come in and like film the event. They're actually charging for it, and it's an upcharge, but. It's basically like everybody gets like an RIP tour in a sense, like not without the tour part of it. So it's limited people in the park. It's all you can eat while you're in there, and they're pulsing the houses, meaning that they're going to let they're going to hold groups to whatever the number is of the group. Like, say it's me and my wife, it should be two people or thereabouts, and they're going to hold us there, and they're going to let the scare actors reset before they send us into the house.
Fuck, so yeah.
I told you he would be all good with that.
I hate when you go to a haunted house and it's a fucking goddamn assembly line.
Yeah, the conga line, as they like to call it. Yeah, it's bad.
I hate that. It makes me not want to go to haunted houses when I see that shit.
So, I don't know. If that's a thing again next year, maybe I could talk the hubby into going down there.
Well, the best thing about that is, like, you just take the kids and you make the kids walk in front, and it's fucking...
yeah. Our kids are...
like, dude, hell yeah.
Our kids are desensitized, though. Maybe not Benny, because... Yeah, but he's got the tisms, like...
I think Nona does get scared, too.
Yeah, but not near as much. She gets fun scared. Like, she's not like me and Benny, where we get terrified. It's one thing
when you're walking through and you get to see everything in front of you, so there's no randomness. The moment you remove that and everything now is random, you don't know what's going to happen.
I saw Noah get scared a couple times last year. Or not last year, but the year before. It was actually pretty good. It was kind of cool seeing that for the first time. But, Noah's always behind me. And I think that makes it bad for him, because I am going to get scared. Severely scared.
But that's the difference. The chance of me getting scared, it's so low.
I feel like I ruin it for you, though, because you already know something's coming.
I love watching, and I like watching people get scared as fuck, and you're like the perfect thing for that.
Wow.
I'm serious. We watch any scary movie, and it's like, to you, it's like, this is real. This is going to happen to us.
Zombies can happen.
It doesn't matter what movie it is. You freak the fuck out.
I don't. Not like
you start sweating. You get hella nervous. You cover your face.
Not like Raccoon City. There's only been one other movie that I've gotten that scared.
You're so full of shit.
And I won't watch it.
Like every movie we watch that's like semi-good. You do this thing when you sit up, you start sweating.
No, we have watched plenty of scary movies where I'm just like, that was scary, that or bullshit. Snooze fest. But
I'm
going to
record the next time you do it, because it happens all the time.
Well, if it's a good scary movie, then yeah.
You get scared over everything.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Liar.
It takes a lot to scare me.
Anyways, trivia. We're moving forward. Yeah, babe, we got to look into that event, though. Possibly next year.
That's my biggest complaint about haunted houses is... they treat it like an assembly line. Then at that point, it's not even scary. It's some weird fucking thing you're doing.
Well, the problem is if we go and we go with the Reverend and the good lady wife, now we're talking about a pack of six people, which I don't know how that kind of turns into a kind of a conga
line. You don't.
Line.
You split the group. Like, yeah, this is a three-person group, and that's a three-person.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like.
Oh, you're going to send me in with the kids?
No, we'll send one of the kids with them.
Benny.
Yeah, we'll send Benny with you guys.
So he's freaking out.
Oh, yeah. It's entertaining as fuck to watch.
Oh, man. That, or we could send in Nona, and she's just like, this is okay.
That's where I'd be at, though. It'd be two of us doing that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of bullshit when Nona does that, though.
Oh, she wears it well.
That's the whole idea, is you fake it until you make it.